I was just a child, but your skin can bring you so much pain. Now I hear you say, you got the best of both ways. Won't you come and take a walk in my shoes and tell me if you take my place? Under the cover of my skin. Welcome to episode 156 of the Inside Run podcast. Thank you for joining us for another week. Big show coming at you. We'll thank some patrons. Got a bit of a partnership announcement later on in the podcast. We'll hear Moose's purchase of the week, go through some results, listen to questions, all that fun stuff we do every week of the year. Welcome to my co-host down in Anglesey, Julian Spence, a 214 man from the Doha World Champs. How you going?
Well, I didn't run that at the Doha World Champs. But
you were a 214 man, and you went to the Doha World Champs.
I've just been getting all the. It was like 2 weeks ago. I got all the Facebook stuff come through. Oh, gee, I did well resisting the urge to share a memory.
Oh, that was this time last year. Yeah.
I'm like, oh, that's flog behavior. Don't do it.
You haven't had the ego stroked for a while, though. I'm surprised you didn't put one up. Get a bit of kudos, get a bit of attention.
Hard to resist, but I did it, and I was proud of myself.
He just bought himself something instead.
Yeah. The other man, though, plenty of attention heading his way, Moose, Mr. ACT. This time, I think it was last Tuesday after we recorded on Monday night, got crowned Fashions on the Field male winner from the Australian Capital Territory. People living overseas, our country's broken up in the States, and Brad is the most fashionable person in his state, alongside his wife, Vivian, who won the females category. So congratulations, Mr. ACT. Welcome to this week's show.
Thank you, Brady. Yeah, I'm not sure there was a lot of competition. And actually, I'd found out about a week before last Tuesday, but we just weren't allowed to say anything because they wanted to...
You could have told us, couldn't you?
Well, yeah, I guess I could have, but I just left it off until it was all sort of announced and official. So, yeah, it's been almost 2 weeks since we found out, which is, yeah, pretty cool.
So you had a film crew around at your house, like doing a mini documentary on you, is that right? And then when does it get announced and stuff? Give us some details.
Yeah, so they originally called us up. They called Viv first, like on the Tuesday afternoon. I was in the bedroom, I don't know, maybe watching something on the computer or reading or something. And then next thing she came in and she's jumping all around and she's like, oh, I won. I'm like, oh, that's awesome. It's so good. Like 1 in 8 chance now of winning a Lexus. And then I said, well, if I don't win, Viv, I'm blaming you because they're not going to give it to, both of us. So I was like, oh, well, I get some running shoes. So I'm doing okay. And then it was like 9 o'clock that night that my phone rang, and like it was a number I didn't know, and I normally just let them ring out, and I showed Viv and she checked the number and she's like, no, answer it. And so they're like, oh yeah, you've just letting you know, sorry for calling so late, just letting you know that you've won. And she goes, oh, they'll be sending a film crew down to do a bit of a sort of a package on all the finalists, which will be on like, I guess, Channel 10 before they make the live announcement of the national championship. And she goes, oh, I noticed during Casey, the film crew are going to be really happy because the lady that won also lives in Casey. And I didn't say, yeah, that's my wife. So yeah, they came down last Tuesday from Sydney, just a couple of guys, and they interviewed us individually, and then they got some footage of us sort of playing with the kids. Took some footage of our outfits, and then just did some other stuff, like got me to pretend that I was doing the podcast.
Did you tell them you're on a running podcast? How do they even know about podcast?
Well, they knew about it because Viv had been chatting to somebody at Channel 10, and so they wanted to obviously find out as much about us as possible for the feature that they're going to do on us. And so Viv explained that, you know, I teach, I do some coaching and I do a podcast, and they're quite interested in that. So, they got me to pretend that I was doing it, and then did some running out at Mulligan's. So I think there'll be like a 2-minute sort of, you know, package on each of us.
So this will play at the Melbourne Cup.
Yeah, so it'll be on. I'm not sure whether it's just – so the announcement's on Oaks Day, which is the Thursday. So Melbourne Cup's obviously the Tuesday. But I'm not sure whether they'll run it throughout, like, the week. So Derby Day on Saturday, Melbourne Cup on Tuesday, or whether it's just on the Thursday before they make the announcement. But, yeah, it'll be on TV. So it was a pretty long day. Like, it was – because the questions – oh, no, they asked us about 10 questions each, but they didn't show us the questions beforehand. So it was pretty much like question and then just got like camera in your face. And yeah, some of the, like, I was good with just the general questions, but then when they started to get into the fashion questions, it was like, oh, looking to Viv for a bit of assistance.
You've got it now.
You should have just said, I do nothing. Surely yeah. That's the time to give your wife some credit when you're on national television.
Oh, I definitely gave her credit. I said that before Viv and I met, me and fashion did not go together very well at all.
Tell them about the Fox hoodies.
Well,
DC hat.
Not like that.
But violet board shorts.
I did mention that my uni mates for like birthdays and things like that used to always buy me clothes vouchers because they were sick of me wearing just the same clothes over and over again. So anyway, we'll find out on Oaks Day, and yeah, we're just not sure whether it's just purely the outfit or whether the judges will look at the whole video package with like the interview question, like the interview and stuff like that. So we don't really know what they're using to judge.
One of you will win, like, for sure. Like, obviously you're both not going to win because they're not going to give you both a car. But because they won't, like, you've got this disadvantage that's also an advantage. Like, it'd be a good story if one of you guys wins for sure. I think you'll win. 2 in 16 chance. Definitely both won't win, but they'll give it to one of yous.
Yeah, I don't know. Competition's pretty good, especially from, like, Victoria, New South Wales and Queensland. So normally ACT doesn't actually have a position at the nationals for this. So what happens is the states, so Western Australia, for example, will have one race day each year that's their state final. And it doesn't matter where you live. If you travel over to WA and you win on that day, you're the WA representative at nationals. But obviously with COVID, that couldn't happen anymore. So like Viv's been traveling around the country for like the last 7 years, going to all the different sort of state finals to try and get a spot at the Melbourne Cup Carnival for the nationals, and so yeah, finally got it this year with, I guess, being a little bit different with it all being digital.
Yeah, and then second and third prize is pretty good too, isn't it? Like, you're talking a couple of thousand bucks.
Yeah, so you get a couple of thousand dollars in Myer vouchers, a couple of nights accommodation down in Melbourne when the borders open. What else, like a TV package. So it's pretty good. And like, we've already won, you know, $1,000 Myer voucher each and some luggage, so can't complain.
Jeez. Since we started the podcast, like, do you think this is more impressive than Moose getting picked in the Australian team? That's a few people been asking that. Like, is this the biggest thing that's happened to Inside Running Podcasts?
I don't think so. I personally...
Oh, you don't think so? I don't,
Viv gets excited by winning fashions competitions and getting sashes and stuff like that. I don't get that excited by it because, I don't necessarily like the subjective nature of fashions competitions. That's what I've always loved about running, is it's you versus the clock and there's no subjectivity involved at all.
Good to get a bit of runner mentioned in there. The listeners can't vote, can they? Like, this is totally a judging panel now?
Yeah. So they have about five judges. So I think, like, Kerry Bickmore is a judge. Nadia Bartel. Dom Bagnardo, who's a designer. Yes, I think it's about five judges.
All right. If anyone's got any contacts out there, just put in a good word. Brad Kroger, the guy from the podcast, give him a shot. Let's talk about some running, eh? Congratulations, though, Brad, once again. Moose, do you want to go through your week?
Yep, I can go through my week. We could talk fashion on this podcast if you wanted, Brad.
Well, I notice how he goes. Oh, let's talk some running. Moose, you tell me what you've been doing. And also, Brady, what about this road to Valencia? It's like, oh, yeah, next week, Moose will be hosting 214 Man or this other guy, Croaks, who does fashion. Thanks, Brady.
They didn't really get it either, did they? Like, I think they think I was serious.
I don't know.
I heard that. I thought I liked it.
They're like, what, the third host of Inside Running doesn't even run?
No, he doesn't, does he? Not much.
We'll talk about Road to Valencia a bit later on. Goes through Moose, Monday through to Sunday.
Monday, I ran 8 kilometres in Anglesey, ran with Bree in the morning. My heart rate was high that day, and Bree was feeling better than me. So she was that half step ahead in all of the run. The next day was Tuesday afternoon. I didn't go to Ballarat because I had an MRI scheduled for Wednesday morning in Geelong. So I was going to get the MRI head up Wednesday. And I was working Thursday in Ballarat. So I decided to stay in Anglesey and drive into Geelong for a workout. Surf Coast TC, they had a big group in town. We went to Landy Field because at the moment the track at Deakin University is still closed. Their facilities are still shut, basically. So they've got this brand spanking new track. It's fantastic, and no one's allowed on it. They've got security guards down there and everything, so we can't use that. So we went to Landy Field, and as I was driving in, it was just like, I thought there must have been an event on. There were so many people in the track. Like, I thought, oh no, it must be a little athletics meet. Like, someone's organized something to get underway. Like, it's a meet and greet night or something. But then we got in there and I'm like, oh no, there's a bunch of sprinters. Like, There's a sprinting group. There's a multi-sport group there. There was hurdlers. And then there was about 15 junior groups on the track. And I reckon there was about 150 people in the venue. And when we're not supposed to really be together with 10 or more. But so we sort of hung out outside the venue. We did our warm-up. There was about 9 of us in the group. 7 of us did the same workout, which we jumped on the track after our warm-up. It was still really busy, so we had to be super careful with jumping in and out of our reps. So, like, the first rep, I remember we took off, and then we ran up the back of, like, 15 9-year-olds who were in lane one all over the track, and I'm like, oh, there's a bit of carnage here, especially when you've got 7 blokes all like 70 kilos running 20K an hour. So we sort of got around them and the workout, sorry, was 1200s. So we did 5 1200s, and it was, you run through 1K at 305 and then you kick down for the last 200. So there was 7 of us in the group. I led the first one. First lap we ran 3:38, so I think I went through in about 3:03, I reckon, and then come through in 35 to finish off. We had 2 minutes rest in between, so that was just a standing rest. I led the second one, it was 3:36, and the third rep was led by Hutchie, I think, and it wasn't a very well paced rep at all, so it was way too fast early. And then real slower towards the end, 3:39. Blake took the fourth rep. This was much faster. Actually, Blake's was the one that was too fast. He ran 3:35 for the rep. And then the last rep, Matt Gunther took. We went through really evenly. So we went through in 3:05 and then ran 30 to finish. So that was the session. It actually went really well. 7 of us in the same group doing the workout. That's almost unheard of, isn't it? Outside of like the big training groups in Sydney or Melbourne or whatever.
Mm. So yeah. A couple of guys didn't do any work then.
It's hard when you got 5 reps and you got 7 blokes.
Didn't you lead 2 though? How come you didn't throw one of those to someone else?
Mate, you should
alpha, be alpha. Alpha, yeah. Alpha, yeah. For sure.
You should see these folks on the track. They're all over the shop. They're fucking in lane 2 and there's kids out there, and I thought I'd better jump in the front and make sure we don't get kicked off this track. But towards the end, I was pretty happy to be further back. The fitness still isn't quite there. Towards the end of the reps, I was like, instead of sort of being up and about on my toes with 200 to go, I was like, oh, gee, I wish this rep was over. But you got to kick down 200.
I still reckon it's a step in the right direction compared to your session last week where you cooked yourself early.
Yeah.
It looked a lot better.
Pretty even.
It was quite good. I mean, my heart rate was pretty high. You can tell in that last, like, I think I stopped my watch 16 seconds after the final rep, and the average heart rate in that 16 seconds, that's me walking, was 185 beats. So that's very high. But this workout wasn't supposed to be a threshold. It was faster than that. And to be in a group, oh, geez, it's nice. It's good fun.
Tell me, when you're going around that, like, bend with a 200-meter kick down, people starting to get out in the lane two and three and, like, just take over each other and stuff, or you keep it pretty contained?
It was pretty disciplined, actually. Like, I'm not sure what was happening behind me, but no one went past me in first and second rep. And then in the third rep, I was, like, at the very back, so I didn't see no one really went out wide or anything. And then in the fourth rep, I was second and I came out equal first. And then in the last rep, I went through in second behind Gunther and I got up on his shoulder and we had a fair crack for that last 30 seconds. He ended up out leaning me on the line, actually.
Dipped you.
Yeah.
Jesus, so bring back some memories for you, wouldn't it, Croaks? You know, when you just go out in lane two, just get up next to him, just match it.
Yeah, give him the look.
And all of a sudden your legs are like reaching fucking ranges that you've never reached before ever, and your hamstrings are like, oh shit, what are you doing? Stop this. This is horrible.
The smell of the track and that it's a good feeling.
It's a like that final sprint coming off like a whole session of reps, all of a sudden it is so different, the feel you get. But then there's like 50 meters to go and you're like, fuck that, I'm going to win this rep.
Would you argue though, Moose, like a group's a great thing, but for where you're at the moment, you probably don't need to be going all out on this on the end of the sessions?
Nah, you don't, but fuck, you do, don't you? And you kept it very controlled. And even Gunther, like in the last rep, there was this sort of feeling through the group like, oh yeah, let's get after it, last rep. Right? And it was like, I kind of said, no, let's just run the workout as planned. So that was me being totally fucked and hoping they didn't go out too fast. But he was very controlled. He went through 3:05 and then he kicked down, obviously, really hard. But the workout went as planned. I probably didn't need to do that last 200. But you know what? 200 meters out of a 6K session, that's not too bad to be out of control. And then so yeah, that was that workout. I pulled up. I got some plantar issues, and that sort of the plantar didn't like that fast running. So I was a little sore the next day in the foot. I ran in Ballarat in the afternoon, in the evening. So I ran like 7.5K. Had a big day at work, so I was supposed to run 12K, but I just wasn't feeling it. So I swapped Wednesday and Thursday. I ran with Lockie Doak in the afternoon down in Anglesey. What I'm finding right now is that I'm really struggling on easy runs with the fitness, like coming back from runs, just being smashed and the heart rate's being super high, but I can pull off the workouts. That was like confusing me how I could do these workouts, but then 4:30 pace just beating me up. And then the next day kind of showed me where I really was. So I had a workout. It was 3x7 minutes at threshold heart rate with 2 minutes jog. I organized to run with Blake. I actually drove in to see the doctor on Friday morning, but then I got like, as soon as I reached the office, I'm like, hey, they're shut. And then I checked my phone. I'm like, fuck, the appointment's next week. So I wasted a 40-minute drive into the doctor, 40 minutes back as well. But I got to train with Blake and we did, we did the same workout, 3x7 minutes at heart rate threshold. So the first lap, it was quite humid actually. I wasn't sure if that would have an effect, but I think it did. So the first rep, 3:16 pace for my 169 heart rate, but it felt really difficult actually. So then I jogged 2 minutes and within the first like minute of the next rep, I said to Blake, mate, you go, this isn't going to be a good day for me. So my heart rate was sort of breaching 175 within a minute into the rep and I didn't see any benefit cooking myself in this one. So I stayed right back, ran to the heart rate averaged 3:27, so that's 11 seconds slower per K, and that is a I've never been that slow in a threshold, maybe only once or twice before the last 5 years. And then jogged through that next 2 minutes and then ran 3:33s for the next at 175 beats a minute. So this was not an impressive workout by any means. And it sort of showed that first 7 minutes was just way too fast for what I could actually handle. So you get those, though, when you come back. They don't always go well.
But what would you do differently? Because it's at the heart rate's kind of at threshold for that first 7 minutes. Yeah, like 169, that'd be close to your threshold pace.
Yeah, it is as an average, but it doesn't include the time that accumulates to get to that. So I was uncomfortable with it too. I was like, oh, this just feels outside my range right now. So I would be a little bit more conservative with it.
I reckon you did well though, Moose, like to not worry about the ego and just go, you know, well, I'm just going to run to heart rate. But I totally get what you're saying. When I reckon that first month when you're back, or even the first 6 weeks, you have these glimpses where you're like, oh, I'm actually going pretty well. And then you have these real crap workouts. So it's really inconsistent for that first 4 to 6 weeks. And then after you get over that hump, then training becomes really consistent. Easy runs, your heart rate's lower as well.
Yeah, and I do think like running every run with a higher heart rate on easy runs catches up to you as well. So just because like I'm used to running at 135 heart rate or like averaging less than that for an easy run, and now it's 145 nearly every time. So you sort of take 7 days of running at 10 beats a minute higher than normal. That does start to have an effect.
Well, you're never rocking up fresh, are you? And you're right. The first 2 minutes, it was kind of at your threshold heart rate, but then the last five, it was like 173, 175-ish.
Yeah, there's too much. And it was humid, but Blake had a good workout, so I can't really blame the humidity too much.
It affects people in different ways, though, humidity.
Yeah, but if you hadn't heard, I ran a marathon in Doha.
Yeah, I heard about that. I'm an Australian guy there.
That was I had a day off Saturday, which was nice. OP started it, the pelvis started to flare a little, so it got pretty tight on Saturday morning. We kept it on the flat, ran it in Paraparat. Group run was a little smaller because of the grand final. A few blokes decided to run Saturday morning instead of Sunday morning to get a sleep in, rest a tired head. So around 20K, 4:23, hips were pretty tight towards the end. I'm not exactly sure why, actually, but I've started to do a few more exercises for that. Rosie Donegan was with us. She actually qualified for the World Champs in the steeple last year, but didn't go because she had a tendon injury, and she's been living on the Surf Coast, so she's out there, and she was the pace pusher on this run. Towards the end, I was like, cursing her, being about four steps ahead and just like up on her toes, popping along. And there I am with these bloody hip flexors that are tightening up, just limping. But come good, feel good today. Best day I've had in ages today. So we're on the right track.
Well, that's
so
good.
Moose, 146 heart rate for the long run. Is that still too high for you?
That's still too high, but what are you going to do? You're in a group.
Yeah.
Like, and I wasn't on the front. I let everyone else determine the pace. And this is the pace for these guys. Like, just because you rock up and you're the most unfit there, you're off. Like, if you want to decide to run by yourself 100 metres out the back, then...
But did you find even though the heart rate was a bit higher, like, perceived effort wasn't... Like, 4:23s for you is probably not too... Like, you wouldn't feel like you're working too hard?
But I can feel the difference. Yeah, I can definitely feel the difference, like to what compared to 140.
Yeah,
because you know when you finish the run and you're like, yeah, my heart rate was too high on that, and I can basically predict what my heart rate average will be without even looking at it on the run at all. And I was going to say like 145 for this, and I think it was 146. So
that's how it felt. Rosie Donegan live down there now?
Yeah, she came back from America and she was living down here at her parents' holiday house as opposed to in Melbourne CBD, or well, in Melbourne Metro. So yeah, I guess so.
Good training partner for Ali if she sticks around.
Yeah, for sure. That's been linked up already, and I think it'll be very good because they're both starting to get back into workout shortly. Obviously, Rosie a little more speed orientated, but they'll work off each other there.
Could be good for Ali though. 10K speed, 5K speed.
Yeah, well, Ali's a better 10K runner. She's like the fourth fastest ever Australian, so it's not like that's her weak point.
That's what I mean, though. Like a session with a 3K steeple is probably not out of the, you know, her ballpark. She could step into that for sure, the speed stuff.
A 1,500 metre, like Rosie, we were talking about the steeple. She said she runs more 15s than 5Ks. So, you know, some steeplers are sort of more 15-based and others are more distance-based.
Yeah.
So she comes from the speed side of things. So I think that will be really good for Ali. It's just going to be how they link up because obviously Rosie has a different coach and everything, so hopefully like they can link some workouts together.
She was over there at college, wasn't she? Is that right?
Yeah, New Hampshire. And then she was part of a post-collegiate group for like 3 years or something.
Oh, okay, yeah. Ah, good. Hey, also, like, is everyone down that way because it's so close to Geelong Football Club supporters? Like, a few people a bit disappointed on the Sunday long run?
Yeah. The
vibe down?
It wasn't ideal.
Why'd you have to bring it up, Brady?
Yeah, come on, getting in the mayor a couple weeks ago.
Yeah, but that wasn't a grand final.
Got pumped, you guys did. Richmond gave you a bath.
Yeah, it was not fun watching. Like, we were up and about too, half time. We were getting around it.
15 points up, weren't you? I was racing, so I only saw the last 10 minutes.
Well, we were up by 22 points at one stage, and we thought, okay, this is good. But, you know, Richmond has this player called Dusty Martin, who whatever he does turns to fucking gold every time he gets the ball. No one can tackle him. Anything that comes off his boot goes in the right direction to a positive advantage to his football club, and he's just a special unit. And without him on the field, those guys weren't coming back. He absolutely changed the game. It's rare to have players like that.
Big time performer.
He is, yeah. And I've never really watched Geelong play, but I've watched a few Tigers games this year, and it's like you just hope that he gets the ball because you want to see what he's going to do. He's got like this aura on the field where no one can touch him.
Yeah, just throw stone argues all the time. You know, he's from Castlemaine, not far from Ballarat and Bendigo.
Yeah, I did hear that.
Yeah, I think you played Bendigo Pioneers.
Went
to the high school in Bendigo for a while there, I reckon. Anyway,
how are his academics?
Not sure if he made it the whole way through. Couldn't tell you. Didn't teach him. I was only a couple of years older than him, I think.
Imagine you teaching him.
Glad I wasn't a substitute teacher in Bendigo when he was getting around.
Yeah. Oh, he would intimidate the fuck out of you.
No, he would have only been like 15 or 16.
Exactly.
Yeah, his dad's a bikey boss or something, wasn't he?
Yeah. Yeah, he's over in New Zealand, I think.
Let's not say anything. You might be listening.
Yeah. Brad, tell us about your week.
All right. Monday was gym in the morning, and then that afternoon went out for 45 minutes. Weather was awesome. I think it was like 18 degrees, no wind. So average 404s for 45 minutes. Last couple of Ks into the sort of 340s. So I was working solidly, but body felt actually pretty good. And then Tuesday, that film crew came down and they arrived at like 10 in the morning and left about like 3:30. So I was out at Mulligan's in the inside running Steigen singlet and at like 3:30 for a bit of footage, but I hadn't had any lunch and it was just a long day. So I didn't end up actually going for a run on the Tuesday. So I didn't actually do anything other than a few strides. Wednesday, I did a 40K ride at the gym, so about 70 minutes, 134 average heart rate. Thursday morning, did some weights. Thursday afternoon, another 45 minutes out at Mulligan's at 406s. I think it was like 24, 25 degrees, which at this time of year, going from that like 18 is awesome, 24 to 25 is like, I definitely notice it, the heat. But yeah, moving along okay. Friday was another run, another 45 minutes, 4.11s. And then Saturday, I just went to the gym in the afternoon and did a bit of a progression ride. So I did an hour 20. So I pretty much just started the watt bike on level like 35, and every 10 minutes I just went up a level till I got to like 41, and then an easy 10 minutes at the end. I think I mentioned a few weeks ago that just changing that stimulus every 10 minutes or so makes actually time go by pretty quick. 135 average heart rate for that. And then on the Sunday, my parents were over on the weekend, had my niece's first birthday party. So I just went and did some weights in the morning because I knew I was teaching today, so I wasn't going to get a chance to do weights on a Monday, which I normally do. So that was my week. So it was, three weight sessions, three runs, couple of rides. Yeah, a bit of everything. No body balance this week.
What's the go putting weights on Strava?
It's more just for my own, record.
Attention
seeking. No, my own record of what I've been doing, but I'm happy to have it private. I'm happy to switch it off and just put it on private, Moose, if it annoys you so much.
I suggested this weeks ago and you wouldn't do it.
Yeah, I'll do it.
That
okay.
was bike riding. No, I was talking about bike riding. I like body balance.
But this is like he's putting up a stationary bike ride, Brady.
Yeah, it's all stationary bike ride.
Yeah, remember and you guys had a go at me saying that Strava was designed for bike riding and
Bike riding outdoors. It's a GPS tracking. Like it logs GPX files. It's not like a fucking Twitter account. Like Brad's saying, I did weights today.
But for my rides, it logs heart rate data.
Okay.
Oh, yeah, it says 135.
Yeah, so I do wear the heart rate strap for every ride that I do.
Someone rode into one of your runs there, Brad. Could have probably run 63K in that recap, I reckon. One of my favourite quotes out of the 155 podcast. Callback from last week.
Probably could have got 60K, I suppose, in this week's Moose's recap. Wasn't too bad.
He's a good storyteller, though.
Mustn't have listened to Nathan Hardigan's quote about building a teepee out of Australian uniforms.
That's one of my favourites. Go back and listen if you haven't listened to the Nathan Hardigan interview.
Yeah.
There's somewhere. What'd you do? 32K running.
Yeah.
32.8.
I was going to run again yesterday, but by the time we got back from the party and stuff, I was just like, nah. So, yeah. Didn't run today either. We'll run tomorrow.
Good work. I want to recap my week,
Yeah, tell us about the road trip.
Energy's down. Monday, 12K, easy, some strides. Did some strides on the grass and the spikes, just trying to get some more Ks in them, just get used to them under the foot on the grass track, though. Tuesday before work, 7K at 4.30s. Then in the afternoon, hey, I like this session, Moose. It was 5 by 400 metres in 70 seconds, 200 metres jog, 200 metres in 33 seconds, 200 metres jog times 5. So come in at 4.8K. And a good, like, just little, felt like you're still doing work, but it was really manageable having the 200 meter jogs. I reckon a perfect kind of workout for race week. I did wear my new spikes as well, though, and the guy was there spray painting the lines as we were doing it. And I must have stepped on some of the fresh spray paint a couple of times. And when I finished the workout, initially I thought I had like all mud, like under my spikes. Don't know why, because there was absolutely no mud at all on the track. But then it turned out I was just standing on the fresh spray paint. And you know those new kind of Nike white dragonfly spikes? All the bottoms of them were like black, and it just fully like wrecked the swagger. And I come home really disappointed. So I kind of got a bit of bleach and some foam or something. Carly gave me some chemicals from the laundry. Tried to give them a bit of a clean up, but they didn't scrub up real good. But
I don't, you know what? That's your spike now. Like, how vanilla do we want to be when we go to a track race and see every person wearing the same spike or the same shoe? And it's getting more and more now, like with people wearing the latest drops and each brand giving all their athletes the latest color drop of the shoe. And it's like you see the front packs 20 Adidas red Adi Zero Pros or whatever, and or Nike Vaporflies in the same mango color. Don't you kind of want to feel like you're your own person? And so I like the idea of like customing, like putting your own sort of stamp on your spikes. Like, Yeah.
Gee, you've changed your tune a lot, Moose. I remember I tried to do that with my shoes when I cut the backs out of them once, trying to be a bit different, and you gave me shit about it.
Yeah, well, you don't fuck the whole shoe up by doing it, but, you know, like drawing some flames on it or something.
Oh, yeah. Anyway, they don't look like that now because after 10K in the rain and puddles and stuff, they're now that, like, colour of the track, you know, that kind of, like, real dirty, like, rust colour. I'll talk about track race in a second. Wednesday, 14K in the morning at 4:26. Thursday, I did 15 by 15 seconds kind of strides in my easy 12K run, and that was the day in the afternoon that we drove to Wagga Wagga, so about 3.5 hours from Echuca. Kind of left here at, I think it was 4:30-ish. Got up there about 8 o'clock. Just did an easy, like, 10-minute jog just out of the car. You didn't have it on our programs, but you probably didn't know that we were driving that day, so I didn't think you'd mind. Just to stretch the legs after sitting in the car for 3 and a bit hours. So that was good. I like Wagga, actually. First time I've been there, I reckon. And, you know, you just get a vibe for a place just when you go for a quick run around the streets. A couple of friendly punters just walking the footpaths and stuff, which was, yeah, really good. Friday
morning.
I've been there once. You liked it?
Yeah. Stayed there overnight. Got our, me and my dad had our surfboard stolen from the top of our car. And that was my experience of Wagga.
Okay. So you've got a different one than mine.
I've got a positive experience. Seeing as though this is a fashion podcast, I won my first ever Fashions on the Field competition at Wagga.
Have a fucking listen to him now. I'm not tolerating this for much longer.
True story. Anyway, no, Wagga's great.
Yeah, I liked it. It was just like a bigger version of a Echuca Malama, I felt. Just a big country town. One thing I did realise when we got there, though, was like, even though it's same state, but yeah, listeners probably hear me banging on about how I live on the border all the time, but we're very much Victorian dominated in our Victorian New South Wales border town. Whereas when I got to Wagga and you're driving past like pubs with people kind of flowing out of them and just heaps of punters and stuff walking around on footpaths, and it was a first impression that things are quite different in the northern or middle kind of states of Australia than what I've been used to crossing the border into Victoria and in like our New South Wales little town here. That was the first thing that just come to mind. Friday morning, I was up super early because I was recording Road to Valencia, and then I met up with Brad Carterfelt and Pete, his mate Peter, who we went for a little jog along the river there, and we checked out Wagga Beach, which was voted the 9th best beach in Australia. I thought he was pulling my leg for a while there.
Like what? The Wagga Wagga Times?
Yeah, there's a sign up there. Like, I thought it was just talking rubbish, and then now there's a legit sign saying this was voted the 9th best beach in Australia. So a little bit of sand there, just as you're going past the river, which was good. Have a Google it. Get onto it.
Oh, my goodness.
It's pretty impressive.
Okay. You got to get out of Wagga.
Yeah, well, Brad Carterfelt, you know, world championship medalist over the triathlon, Olympian, Comp Games. He was pretty good entertainment there. Hadn't seen him since Lake Biwa Moose when we had a couple of beers after the race. So he was a good fella to jog along with. Did a couple of strides after that and then did the rest of the road trip on Friday.
Did you ask him about his namesake down in Tasmania, that Patreon of ours?
No, you're thinking of
Bert Whistle.
Oh, yeah, sorry.
A bit of an age difference between there. There is a...
We mentioned about Bert Whistle.
Oh, okay, my bad.
Moose. Yeah. He's keen as for you to organise a marathon, though, Moose.
Me?
Yeah, he said, I want to talk to Moose about organising like a 5K lapped course somewhere where everyone in Australia can just come and have a go at a marathon.
What do I know about organising marathons?
Yeah,
Moama's the place.
Moama?
Yeah.
Yeah, we could go Moama.
Do you know how far Moama is from everywhere else, Brad?
Yeah, but look how flat their half marathon course was with like minimal turns.
They don't have enough beds in Australia in Moama to cover like 50 people that come up for
that race.
It's
a tourist town. We've got heaps of beds here. Some of our little holiday caravan park resorts thing, like house, like 3,000 people. They're like little villages over summer.
Rich River.
Yeah, that's where all the police and army people are at the moment. They're going all right, Rich River, through COVID. They've put up the army and the police force. That was Friday. Then we drove to Bankstown. you haven't been in busy traffic for a while either. That was a bit different, getting in a bit of traffic up there. 20 minutes in the morning, Saturday morning, before the New South Wales 10,000 metre championships in the afternoon. Kind of sitting in the hotel room all day, hammering down rain, trees windy, stuff like that. But it kind of passed for our race. It was beautiful conditions. Absolutely, like a few puddles on the track and a bit of light rain, but no wind. Yeah, humidity was a bit higher, but I didn't really notice it too much. The only thing is it's a bit kind of throws you off your game a bit, just all the water kind of flicking off the track. Like you feel like you've got to, I don't know, getting a bit distracted, kind of got to concentrate a bit more and stuff's kind of coming at you. We were kind of in a bit of an interesting situation where we knew that the front pack was going to try to run 29 minutes, and there was a few guys there going to change the lead every two laps. And we made the decision to go on with that pack and kind of run at the very back of it, thinking that their 69s would be our 71s when we're at the very back of the train. But didn't quite turn out that way. When I went with them for the first five laps, and we split 2K in 5:48, which is kind of right on that 29:00 pace. But I was, I felt like I was nearly sprinting to keep up with them a couple of times in those first five laps. If you've seen the stream, I kind of just lose a step here and there, and I've got to then just had to work a bit too hard to get on. So I made the decision after 2K to kind of switch off, or just switch back a bit, just dial the pace back. Ran with then Aaron Parker from Canberra, Brad, around your area for most of the race. He did a lot of the work in our little pack. There was another guy there as well who was from, is it Northern Suburbs or something, Brad? The Red Singlets?
Oh, UTS North.
UTS North, yep. He had a bit of a go at leading for a while. At one stage there, I went to lead, and I remember just splitting my watch when I ran through 200, thinking, okay, let's pick this pace up, because it felt, we're kind of drifting to like 73s, and I knew that was a bit slower than 3-minute K pace, and thought I should have been able to, sit at 3-minute K pace pretty comfortably. And I remember looking at my watch after leading for two laps, and it was like 2:26, and I was like, and it felt like I was working, like my perceived effort was high. And it's almost like the watch is kind of telling you something different to what you kind of think's happening. Ended up coming in eighth, and I just, at one stage there, I just thought, I'm just going to try and win this kind of second pack. And we pulled Archie in. Archie stayed with the leaders for maybe 4K, and then pulled him in, and he kind of joined our pack for a while. And then probably the last two laps, I kind of got away from Archie and Aaron Parker, and come in at 30:14, which was a bit disappointing. I think the place probably got me where I was probably seated in the race, but thought I was in, I know I'm in better shape than that, but I just, sounds like a cop-out, but I feel like when I'm running in spikes, I am a completely different runner, and my perceived effort is so much higher than it is, and the watch tells me a different feeling to what I actually think I'm doing out there. And it was probably a bit of writing on the wall a couple of weeks ago when I did that 5K in Shepparton, when we went to kick that down, and I couldn't. Like, I remember that day thinking I was kicking it down and looking at my watches, watch splits, and seeing like 70s and stuff like that, when I thought I could kick down to kind of 68s, 66s kind of thing. So I think I probably just need more work in them, get my legs used to them, because it's the way of the future now. And if I'm going to run on the track, I've got to be able to race in these spikes and become efficient in there. And no point doing all this training if you rock up to race day and have a, it's just a mediocre performance, which I've had a lot over the past.
It's not quite the way of the future, is it? I mean, these people have been wearing spikes forever.
Oh, yeah, no, but I'm not going to be able to wear high-stack shoes anymore on the track. Yeah. That's what I mean, yeah. And I was kind of used to them and running well on the track in them.
Like as your, I guess, coach talking, or someone who gives you programs, this 10K sort of come out of nowhere to a degree. Like, you were planning on running faster. All the sessions have been sort of more either pace-based or, when I say pace-based, like fast speed work or threshold stuff, not to say that that can't work for a 10K, but there was very no specific work done for this race, was there?
Nah, and that's the way I feel in the spikes as well, that I almost feel like I need to run 90% and like 15, 3K kind of pace and bare my toes and hitting them, and I don't feel that good, like bare a midfoot and on the heel and like comfortably running 72s. And remember when I had that absolutely shocker when I wore spikes for that 3K last year and ran 8:48, and then the next week I ran 14:09 in next percent? And I remember saying, I swear it's the spikes. So even, I don't know if I've got to maybe get out of the next percenters and stuff when I'm doing the road stuff, just to, I don't know, is it like strengthen calves or anything like that, Moose? Do you know anything about
Perhaps you could find like a racing flat that will work on the track for you. There's not a lot of them around, as we know, we've been through it all on there. But they're bringing out like the Nike Streak LT4 that's legal on the track. Perhaps you could get a pair of those if you didn't like the feeling of the spike. But I've got a feeling the spike will feel more like the next percent than a Streak will.
Yeah, it feels like it when you're on your toes. Like, I remember talking to Nitter about it when he tested it out. And I remember my question to him was, does it feel like the spiked version of the next percent? And he was like, no, it feels like a spongier version of a spike. And that's what it does feel like. You're in a spike, you're not in a spike to next percent. And probably that's obvious with the stack height difference and stuff. So I don't know. I don't want to get in this trap because I remember when I used to run pretty mediocre, I used to say, always get caught up with saying that stuff was solid. Like, I'm like, it's a solid run, take the positives out of it. I think I'm in better shape than that. And I'm going to get a blood test this week because that was like 13 months ago since I had the infusion, just to ride out if there's anything wrong with my iron, just to be like, all right, let's just tick that box and make sure that iron's still good. And then... cool down. Just did like a cool down with Ed Goddard, actually, the winner. He said he listens to the show a bit. He said his girlfriend puts you on a background of her phone, Brad. Got a picture of you on there. Big fan of Brad Croker.
Right.
He said sometimes he gets out of the shower and then he'll just go into his girlfriend's bedroom and stuff and he'll just be playing your voice before you go to sleep. Just have your week on the loops.
There's a white hat that Ed has to wear in the bedroom now.
Big fans of the show. So that was good. And like... I hate it when you feel like you're a bit of a spectator in a race. And I remember with like 350 to go, I'm literally looking across the track at these guys kicking down and like finishing. Like it's, but it was a really good event. Like they had so many people there. It was good to see like the community 10K getting around as well. Like a lot of people who probably haven't been on the athletics track much before. Heaps of listeners come up like and say g'day and introduce themselves and say super positive things about the podcast, which I still find a bit strange that they listen. And I'm like, really? You listen to us? We just talk crap every week about running. So it was cool to put some faces to some of the names we see on Patreon and on Strava and things like that as well. And then Sunday morning, we left at 7:30, had a 5-minute stop at about 11 a.m. and then got back in the car and got out of the car at 3:30. So, and the Kia, I told you, Brad, did it all on one take of petrol, which is pretty impressive. 8 hours off a 45 litre tank, dollar a litre up there as well. Pretty good economy getting home. So that was good. And then Sunday, you did have a standard jog, Moose, but we had a my uncle unfortunately passed away last Thursday. My dad called me when we got to Wagga, and it was one of those things where I just probably felt like I was out of town and not with my family and things like that, and just probably put it to the back of my brain and didn't think about it until I got back to Bendigo, back to Echuca. And then when I got home, I just seen Carly and Hudson and probably let some of that, I don't know, probably hit me for six a bit kind of thinking about it when you actually stop doing stuff. And and he was a bit of a legend of Bendigo basketball. You know, the Bendigo Braves. You ever heard of Bendigo Braves? A lot of Bendigo listeners will be familiar with Steve.
Were they in the SEABL or whatever?
The Seabull.
Yeah, I think that's he was back in the day. Yeah, he was just 59. So, but his actual, Bendigo listeners, if they know anything about basketball, like the Bendigo paper did a big spread on him today, and they kind of have his jersey hanging from the rafters in the Bendigo Stadium. There's probably like six people who've got their numbers hanging. So, and I remember when I first started athletics, he was pretty instrumental in getting me involved and things like that. So kind of put it to the back of my mind and then didn't think about it. And then I thought when I got home, the last thing I want to do is go for a run. And now, it's this whole, even like the funeral restrictions are being lifted to 50, but legally I'm not allowed to go south out of the bubble. So it's a bit of I'm hoping something happens with the borders the next couple of days so I can get to his funeral. But anyway, that should be good.
Sorry to hear that, mate.
Yeah, no, I wasn't sure if I was going to bring it up or not. And then I thought, I don't know, like even if my, like, you know, when you put stuff like to the back of your brain, but then subconsciously it probably still is there. And you're like, yeah. Like, it wasn't that I was an emotional wreck or anything when I was racing, and there's definitely no excuses there. And if anything, I remember thinking of him during the race going, this is hard, but, you know, Uncle Steve would be proud of you kind of out here running and stuff. So, yeah, it was kind of... And another thing that gets me too, Brad, like when you have a family and when you're away for a few days, it's completely different now when you have kids, isn't it?
Yeah. And, yeah, like I actually mentioned it the other week that, like, actually I think it was during the interview when they came down, but... Like, having kids has just put everything into perspective. Like, I used to always think just running was, like, so important and everything. But now, like, with two kids that are just everything, it's, yeah, it certainly, yeah, as I said, puts running into perspective. So, yeah, I know what you're saying.
And just even, like, that enjoyment with, like, I used to love going away for weekends and doing the running events, whereas now I'm like, I don't know if it's because COVID and I've been home for so long. But yeah, it's like I couldn't get home soon enough to see Carly and Hudson. But anyway, this is probably all sounding very lame to you, Moose. People talking about kids and stuff like that.
Fucking hell. What, talking about your uncle?
Oh, no. I'm talking about the kid stuff.
Oh, yeah. No, I get it. Like, yeah. I mean, we're talking about how you had a shit race and why you're not that sort of disappointed about it. Well, there's fucking bigger things than a shit race. Jesus.
Yeah.
Like, 100%.
Puts things into perspective pretty quick.
It does. Yeah. And then you think, well, how selfish to care about my fucking race when someone's just lost their dad or their wife or their daughter or their son, whatever.
Mm. Yeah, and even, yeah, I don't know. It's kind of, anyway, onwards and upwards. Well, I'm cooked now, though. I messaged you boys today. Like, I'm beat up big time. Feel like what Brad speaks about every Monday night. That was my description of it.
That drive was not good. Like, you needed to be getting up and out more often than that. Like, 5 minutes in 8 hours.
On the way home, you mean, yeah.
You got to get up every, like, 2 hours and just stretch and loosen your hips because, well, I couldn't imagine what I would do if I was in a seat for 8 hours like that.
And I think you also, and maybe this is just the fact that the shoe technology's changed the last few years, but, like, you need to respect, like, 10K on the track in spikes is bloody brutal on the body. Which I think you've been able to run in other shoes over the last few years, and so yeah, you've got to remember that it's going to take time for that to recover. So.
And I don't know how, like, with Victoria, hopefully they can get races up and going sooner rather than later, because at starters I was like, oh yeah, we've got this New South Wales option, we can get up to Sydney, and you know, the 3K's coming up and things like that. I was like pretty keen to get up there pretty regularly, but after doing it, I'm not sure how sustainable and how much I enjoyed that. Like, it wasn't really fun, and losing, because you got to respect it and kind of do it in maybe two trips, but that then makes it an extra day. And then, yeah, I didn't enjoy being away from my family, and maybe that was because that uncle stuff happened as well. Like, I felt like I was even further away. But yeah, hopefully something happens in Bendigo or, you know, regional, maybe Victoria can get stuff open and the border kind of gets open for regional Vic at least, so we can go in and out, but we'll see what happens.
November 8th, I don't know about your bubble, but the regional and the metro border ends November 8th.
Yeah, so we're still relying on Gladys, New South Wales Premier, to make the decision on the border.
Oh, okay. Yeah. To come into Vic, yeah, right.
Yeah, so we can go into Vic, but we can't go further than like 40K from the border.
Yeah.
So I can go to Rochester, if that makes sense, if anyone knows that area, Rochester, Elmore, but I can't go further than that. But I can hang to the border and go that way. Anyway, that's my week. Should we thank some Patreon supporters, fellas?
Yeah, let's do that. I'll go first. Nigel Drummond from Melbourne, Victoria. Congratulations, Nigel, for getting through the last 12 weeks of lockdown and doing something in that city that no one else has done in the world, getting below that case average in a population like that. I feel like Victorians should be really proud of what they've done.
Mm. We have a lot of Victorian supporters too.
Mm. Yeah, well, I just, like, this is almost like a world first, what's happened in Victoria. So I'm like, it's not just like the administrators that sort of get credit, the people that have fallen into line and but sort of sacrificed their own activities and their own lives and their happiness and their enjoyment of life and their freedom for the betterment of the state and the other people and the elderly and everything. So I thought, I'm like really proud Victorian.
And you know, I'm not sure if you guys have had the same experience, but from the people I know that live in Melbourne, just resilient. I haven't heard any of them whinge, like especially the people in the running community. They've just got on with it. They've got their training done. Even like one guy I coach, like he's just extra positivity around like, you know, that's okay. This is what we've got to deal with. This is what I want to do for time trials. I'll be right. I'll keep stringing the weeks together. Like, not sure if your vibe's been the same from those guys down there.
Yeah, it's, oh, well, regional's different. Like, we were never in a hard lockdown like that. So I don't feel like, we sort of can say that we've been through it like the Melbourne Metro people. But yeah, it's been pretty epic to see like people, I guess, do what they've had to do without too much, like you said, complaining. And now they sort of get to sort of get the rewards of all that by being in a safer community. Anyway, Nigel, that's you.
Yeah, tell us something about him.
He's run 1,682 kilometres this year. PBs on his Strava of 21:20 for 5K, 42:51 for 10K, 1:39 for a half marathon, and 3:55 for the marathon at Gold Coast Marathon. Out of that, I'm going to pick the 10K as the better result.
You love picking the best ones out of the no chats. Your little funny thing.
Maybe the half marathon. That's a tough one, actually. I don't know.
He goes through at the start of the episode and puts them into the calculator.
No, I don't. I'm just looking at him now and I can't do the math. So he might have two girls and he lives near some kangaroos. Good stat. Thanks, Brady.
No worries at all. That's what I do. Brad? You've added to some of your own stats this week, actually.
Yeah, I did a little bit of extra digging. Well, there's one line here that got me intrigued. So my shout-out this week is to Duncan Markwald. He's from Brisbane. He's run 1,993 kilometres this year. He's run 18:37 for 5K, 39:24 for 10, and 82 for the half marathon along the Brisbane River. Which result are you giving him there, Moose?
Oh, hold up. Hold up. What do we got? 18, 37,
39.
122. Yeah, 122.
All right. Some other stats. He plays the guitar, and Brady wrote that he could be some kind of celebrity. Saw a photo of him on the red carpet. So I dug a little bit deeper, and I think he's a barrister. If this is the Duncan, in 2013... he was listed in the Lawyers Weekly Top 30 Under 30 and named as a leading lawyer in the dispute resolution category. So,
big dog.
Yeah, so...
could come in handy if we ever get in trouble too.
Oh, we got Crichton's our lawyer.
Yeah, but he's trademarked though, isn't he?
Yeah, dispute resolution sounds a bit better than trademark.
I could do with one of them, actually.
So, in my back. Thanks for your support, Duncan.
I did do some further digging, Brad, and I couldn't certify it, but I think Duncan's brother actually was on like a Farmer Wants a Wife, like reality TV show or something like that as well.
I saw that.
Did
as
you
well.
See that as well? Yeah, and yeah. I couldn't. Was it? I couldn't confirm it, so I didn't want to talk about it on air. But now we just have anyway.
Yeah, I'm not. It's not that. I can't remember which show it was though. I might dig and find out. Let you know before the end of the show.
Get a pick of it in the show notes, please. Not him, not Duncan, his brother.
His brother. I want to thank Naomi Davey from Busselton over in Western Australia. She ran 24:50 for the Geography Bay Park Run, 49:44 for 10K and 1:54 for the half marathon. Also does a bit of trail running, some beautiful photos of some beautiful trails on her Strava. Possibly a mum, as she's a member of the Run Mum Australia Strava group, and she has run 1,427 kilometres this year. This was as of Saturday when I actually did these show notes from the hotel room waiting for my race in Sydney. So if you're worried that I've ripped her off a few Ks, that's why.
Naomi's 10K is the best of those.
49:44, yeah. Yep. Wow, she's actually quicker. That's nearly a 5K PB on the way.
Yep, that's why it's the pick of it.
No worries, good maths.
The show, I think, was called When Love Comes to Town.
Yeah,
remember they used to go on like buses and stuff to different towns and Never watched it.
Wasn't it just like regional towns and like they'd take all these single ladies out to meet the farmers and stuff?
Do you know what this sounds like? This sounds like the 2012 golf trip we went on to Rich River.
Rich River, Moama, yeah.
When love comes to town.
They go to towns where there's like a different, like a real bad ratio of like female to men.
How's that? How's your chuka for that?
Don't know. I have to look it up. Haven't been out in town for a long time.
Well, what's Archie saying? Archie will tell us.
Archie doesn't seem to have any troubles. I'll give it that. So it may be a bit outweighed with females here even.
That's the memories that I've got.
Let's hope Duncan doesn't take us to court for stalking.
Running news, boys. We'll go New South Wales 10K first. Ed Goddard, we spoke about him before, 28:45 to get the win. Kieran Tall second, 28:47. Close race. Kieran looked good down the home straight. Here's me, probably should have been paying more attention to my own race. And even when they lap you, when they come past you, they just look like they're flying and super smooth and stuff. And Benny St. Lawrence, 28:50.8. Tony kind of 3 seconds off the old young fellas. Bit of a change in the guard up there in Sydney with the young boys. I think they're 22 and 23. I think it was Ed's birthday on the day, actually. So a good birthday present for him. Brad, you might know more about what happened during the mid stages. I think from what I could gather from the commentary, which was always good up there, Matt Whitbread and James Constantine. Benny drop off and then nearly pull him back.
Yeah, so there's a good pack early. So you had like Goddard, Kieran, Benny, Nipper and Kev Batt pretty much like doing two laps each and probably got to about 6K and all of a sudden like Ed was on his own. Like he gapped them and they weren't really sure whether it was him making a move, but I think it was more the others just slowing down. And then, yeah, like Nipper and Kev, they sort of fell off and it was really just a three-horse race to the finish. Kieran was definitely closing the last part. Yeah, I'm sorry. He had a look at his watch with 200 to go, and then
put
on the after.
Kieran.
I saw him look at his watch with 200 to go. I'm like, why are you looking at your watch? And then after he looked at his watch, it was almost like he found this extra gear. And
you know what? Yep. When we were warming up, Benny Saint told him not to look at his watch because when he ran 14:01 in a 5K time trial not so long ago, or 14:00, he must have been looking at his watch flat out then too.
Yeah, he definitely looked at his watch, but I must say that when he did look at it, after he like stopped looking at his watch, like he did pick it up. But Benny actually held on really well because it looked like he was gapped by quite a distance with, you know, still a fair few laps to go. And yeah, to only finish 5 seconds off the win is pretty good. So yeah, that's how it played out.
Yeah, right. Good race. They were the only three under 29, which is pretty deep for a New South Wales 10K champs, and they've done a good job.
That's very deep, yeah.
They've done a good job, Athletics New South Wales, because there's no reason why this couldn't be permanently on the fixture. People come across country season, October, haven't run a spring marathon, don't want to jump into a 1500 or a 3K straight away, get on the track and do a 10K, still got a month and a half until Zatopek.
Yeah, I think COVID played a massive part in this. Yeah, people are just looking for any opportunity to race. Whereas I reckon though, as soon as you go back to old ways, where there's, you know, New South Wales 3K coming up in a few weeks, and there's more options, you got, you know, Noosa Bolt and that sort of stuff.
Oh yeah,
it may not become quite as popular, especially with the big dogs.
Big dogs happy to support it though. Like I was talking to Benny, he's like, no, anything they're putting on, we're supporting.
You still can't have guys leaving to go on training camps or like that. Like no one will be at maybe they'll be at Falls this year, maybe not. But no one's overseas in Europe, in the States, or whatever. Everyone's like in their training group. It will be like the return of the domestic series.
Women's race, Brad. Did you see much of that? I was warming up.
No, I didn't see. I only saw the last part. So Lauren Reed won the race in 33:52. Marnie Ponton was second, 34:40. And Ainsley Van Graan was third in 35:41. So one thing I did see, though, was the commentators like thought Lauren was basically finishing up. And then she was like pointing, saying, no, I've still got one to go. So, she knew she was on top of how many laps she had to go.
Do you know what the hardest job in the world is? That old, when we got there, we put our bags down and then they weren't going to start the community 10K until they got some people doing lap scoring. So we had like 2 hours into our race. So I said, "Oh, Archie, we'll go do some lap scoring for someone." They gave us a piece of paper with four people's name on it. Archie's dropped out of school, hasn't done maths for like a couple of years. And I was thinking we'll just get one person each. And then people getting lapped flat out, it's raining, so the piece of paper's getting wet. And then they come through like three laps and the clock stops working. So this official's just yelling out. It was like the most chaotic. That's probably why it take another 15 seconds off me time. Because I probably burned so much stress bloody doing that lap counting. Before the race, and then, yeah, chaotic there. But it's hard when people are getting lapped.
Nice of you to throw Archie under the bus.
Yeah, I felt so bad. He was getting so... He should
have... No, I would have told you to get fucked. I'm like, fuck off, Brady. You go do it.
Well, I just suggested. I was like, oh, this would be pretty easy. We'll just sit here.
Everyone's mate.
Yeah. So, anyway, that was good fun. He had heaps of holes in his, though, at the end of it. Like, he just missed laps. Like, it's just... It was like a bloody Connect 4 board or something. Anyway.
That's a good way to not get asked next time.
Yeah.
He's actually smarter than you think.
Yeah. Now, shoes at this one, we were told, so it was state medals, records, qualifiers, anything like that. And we were told in the email beforehand, if you think you're going to be up the front, you definitely wear shoes that are legal. So the majority of the field was in spikes. Over at South Australia, though, they also had the 10K champs. They didn't enforce the rule, so it was whatever shoes you wanted over there. In deep females race, Izzybat Doyle got the win in 32.13. Jessica Stenson was second in 32.35. And Tara Palm was third in 32.42. PBs for Izzybat Doyle in first and Tara Palm in third. Any comments about those results, boys?
Oh, three Australian or future Australian reps right there. And... class field. I think the fact right now is these results aren't counting as qualifiers or anything because it's still in the black zone for like proper qualifying time. So even if say Izzy goes and runs 31:10 in this race, it doesn't mean she's qualified for anything. She doesn't get an Olympic qualifier for that or anything. So that's probably why they're wearing those shoes as well. I think they still got a championship because it was South Australia's rules. But what it's really highlighting now is that there needs to be a directive from Athletics Australia where they have to come out and say there's one rule for every track race in Australia or they're like... For a championship, like whatever the rule is, it has to be made clear and it has to be made from the very top and it has to govern all the state bodies from Athletics Australia rather than every race picking and choosing what their rules are for this. Because can you imagine right now if it was green light for recording qualifying times and Izzy does run 31:10 in a Vaporfly and it gets through to World Athletics and someone goes, no, she ran that in a shoe that you've banned. And all of a sudden, the result won't stand, and the qualifying time won't stand. Do you like? Can you see issues with this? Because I can.
Huge issues. I told Archie we should have drove the different way for 8 hours. Should have went to Adelaide and wore the different shoes.
Would have got a W there.
Yeah.
But would you want to do that, Brady?
I would have thought
that when this rule came in, that if you're running in a state title and like community race completely different. But if you're in the South Australian champs or the A race of New South Wales 10K, you should be in a shoe that's legal.
Yeah, I totally agree. And it kind of now opens this door for guys like me who aren't going to win races. We're not going to be top five, but you may be making up the numbers in these A races where you can kind of say, well, why don't I just wear the high stack shoe? Because I know people's results, they still went on to World Athletics from the Sydney race. It didn't matter what shoes they were in. But for me, it doesn't sit well personally because I'm like, I know I want to be treated the same way.
There are some real issues at the moment with this compliancy list that World Athletics has. In fact, Danny Orr mentions in the interview with him on Shoe Geeks, when's that come out, this week?
Yeah, October's going to run out pretty quick. This might go to the punters. It's been on Patreon for a while, but it might go to the punters before they actually hear this.
Yeah, okay, well, he's on the World Athletics Compliance Committee or something, that deals with the shoes. And I brought up a couple of examples of shoes with him, and he's like, oh, that's a mistake. That's a mistake. That's an oversight that shoe's on there. So there's a real disclarity with the actual shoes that are allowed to be worn at the moment, and how they're being measured, and how officials are going to enforce this list of shoes, because there's tons of shoes that aren't on the list that are red or green in terms of whether you're allowed to wear them or not. So the rule is still so ambiguous at the moment, and it's so hard to enforce. They've almost got to kind of not enforce it until there is much clearer direction around it.
Is going to be December, isn't it? Like, that's when we're thinking everyone in the world's on the same page.
No, it's got nothing to do with December. Was only a time frame that was sort of mentioned for field events and the shoes that would come in governing the field events. But the track events has been in play from World Athletics anyway since July or whatever. So, there just needs to be a real clearing up of that list. There needs to be greater direction from Athletics Australia, I think, towards the state bodies around it. And yeah, otherwise it's just going to keep happening like this. Someone will run a time one day that will get taken off them. Someone will win a championship that gets taken off them. But what you've got to be really careful of is turning people away from athletics, especially track races, the community runners that give no fucks about wearing spikes. And it's actually quite a dangerous thing for them to put on a pair of spikes or tiny flats and go and run 50 minutes around a track. And that's, athletics need these runners to come across and build the sport from park run, from fun runs, from footy clubs, whatever. And they can go out there, wear their training shoes for 25 laps, be part of the race, but not get fucking disqualified because they're not wearing a pair of spikes. Like, there has to be some stipulation that allows community runners or those in like lower divisions that it's okay to wear that shoe.
And they had 26 finishes in the community race, which was good for them to put that on, I reckon. Because sometimes, you know, like, it's a long time for some of those people going around the track, and pretty daunting doing circles when you're running 45, 50, 60 minutes for 10K. I think you put that really well, Moose. Would a blanket rule being the A race, the championship race? If you're in that championship race, you got these shoes on. If you don't want to wear the shoes, nominate to be in the B race and just, you're on an hour earlier. We don't submit the B race results to World Athletics. It's not going on the profile.
I think that should happen. That's a pretty good way of doing it. Pretty fair, pretty clear. And no one's running qualifying times from B races. I'm with that. And on that same thing, like, I know this result didn't change for qualifying times and everything, but championship races shouldn't have paces in it. So I know the ladies had paces for their 10,000 metres, male paces, and I just don't think that's required in a championship race, a 10,000 race. I know it was a meaningless sort of... it wasn't meaningless, it was the South Australia champs, but no one was really going for qualifiers or anything because it didn't count as such. But I still think a championship race shouldn't be influenced by paces.
It's been happening so much, though, Moose. You look at basically every Zatopek for the last how many years, and there's always been a pacemaker.
Yeah, but legal pacemakers, same gender, still in the race.
Oh, that's, yeah.
They're training partners, though. Like, they're pacing one or two people.
Yeah, I know what you're saying, but they're not in there as pacers. They're in there as competitors and entrants, aren't they?
Well... No. Okay. So you're going to tell me that last year Geordie Williams and Brett Robinson were legitimate? They were there to compete in the 10K.
Yes, they were. They were on the start line, starting the race, competing. They qualified for it, did they?
No. It's still, they were there to pace.
I don't know. Might have been... Jordan Williams, would have he qualified for a Zatopek?
Well, he would qualify for Zatopek, but he wasn't there to run 10K. He was there to pace.
I understand, but it's they haven't brought in someone who's ineligible to be on that start line for that event. They've brought in eligible competitors that can decide to run the race however they feel like it because they're eligible, they've earned their start.
And the flip side of that not happening, Brad, was then you miss the Australian record wouldn't have happened for Stuart and Pat Tiernan. Like, I think that's good.
I think it's good as well, but Moose was saying that he doesn't like it because it influences the race, and, you know... Again, it does influence the race.
It's different though. Like Dylan Stenson, like Jess's husband, was the male pacemaker, but it was a mixed race as well, and so was New South Wales. Like the females didn't have their own race; they were in with the B grade men. I'm not sure if Adelaide just all ran one race, and men and women were all in that one.
So I think you just need to state it a bit different. That you don't want to have like males pacing females in a championship race. Basically, that's what you're getting at.
You don't have
an issue with somebody actually acting as a pacemaker in an Aussie title at Zatopek.
I'm not sure on the answer. I'm unsure where I sit on that, because I feel like they're allowed to do whatever they want in a race they qualify for, and if that's helped their friends out, that's okay. But so say Izzy Bat Doyle comes in and says, "Hey Jess, can you help me out? You're gonna take the first 15 laps at this pace, and I know you'll probably blow up after that, but would you do it as a favor?" And Jess goes, that's fine, I'll do that. That's all right. That's sort of friends, teammates working together, both eligible competitors in that race. It's different when, say, like someone brings in a male pacemaker who's got no business being in a women's 10,000 meter championship. I think it's different.
I don't think you should have a female championship with male competitors in it.
No, neither. I don't think so either. But I guess I'm not sure how many ladies were in that race actually.
I should say though, that's on the track. Obviously, in a marathon, like especially if Sydney's the Australian marathon titles, you're not going to have a women's only marathon start. They're not going to do that, I don't think.
But
Sydney.
We do see it in like the majors now, like New York and London and Boston both do separate races, and that's where you'll see maybe some faster times at the Chicago and Berlin's, and male pacers going with them the whole way. Remember Valencia, you spoke about in the interview last week, Moose, the male pacemakers are with them the whole way down the finishing chute.
Yeah.
And I think back to the beauty of racing sometimes. Like, it's good not having pacemakers, and that's why Boston's and New York's kind of interesting. You got Alain Chenet up there in the lead pack, but it's more of a race rather than an all-out time trial.
Yeah, I didn't mean for this to turn in. It was just an afterthought. But I don't feel crazy strong about it. It's just something that I thought seemed odd.
Men's results. Jacob Cox won in 30-36. Brian Nicholas was second in 31-37, and Harrison Bagley was third. Two of your AH Elite boys here, Brad, in second and third in 32-13.
I think it might be Bryn Nichols, actually. Bryn, Brady.
But, what did you call him?
Brian Nicholas or something?
Yeah, there's a vowel missing out of that.
Yeah, well, I'm going to zoom in a bit more. I think I need glasses or something.
Yeah. Actually, speaking of pacing, I think Adrian Potter paced Harrison to third place, and then basically pulled to the side down the home straight and let him pick up the bronze, which is pretty nice.
Wouldn't expect anything less, would you, from Adrian Potter?
No. Boys at AH Elite doing good things.
Why is this men's race so weak?
Good question.
Like, so slow. Like, they've got a lot of talent over there and a lot of guys who could run sub 29.30. And Jacob Cox is a 29.30 guy as well, so he picked up the win pretty easy. He finished more than a minute ahead of anyone, so he didn't have a lot of competition. But anyone know? Where were they all?
Don't know.
No, no idea.
Don't know. Maybe someone could write in.
Was it grand final day?
They ran Saturday morning, so it would have been perfect. Oh. Bang a 10K, get on the beers, watch the footy.
Yeah.
Don't rock up for your Sunday long run like the boys down in Anglesey.
Actually, I think Potter paced Bryn as well. So good work. Just checking my stats.
How did he pace both of them? They're fucking a minute apart.
Well, yeah, I think they obviously started out together, and then who was it? Oh, Harrison must have then fallen off. Yeah.
Go listen to question, Bradley.
All right. Let's go the top one then.
You can choose. I put three in there for you this week.
Nicholas Bolling. At what age do you plan to stop running?
Good question, Nicholas. Brad?
competitive. I'll always run, like a few times a week. I think my days of like competitive like marathon racing are done. You know, trying to get back to like a, I don't know, 15 to 16 minute 5K. Like, I wouldn't rule that out because you don't have to train to, like, heaps for it. But yeah, in terms of like serious like competing, like now, yeah.
Moose, when are you stopping?
No, I don't know. Who knows what they're going to be doing in however many years? I can't plan that. I mean, I've got a feeling my body is going to make me stop running at some point. I've had a few scans recently, and all the ancillary type reporting going on in my knees and hips isn't very good. Even though I'm not getting pain there, they're like, oh, you've got some pretty bad arthritis going on. Maybe you don't feel it yet, but fuck, you might.
Soon. Oh, really, Moose? Oh.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Like real. I had the opposite. When I went and had that scan on my back a couple of years ago because I was having the same symptoms that I've got now, they were really surprised. They're like, your discs and everything, you know, for how much you've been running, I would have expected to see things a lot worse. So I wonder if your footy and stuff played a bit more of a part in that as well.
Yeah, I don't know. At the moment, though, it's like it's still okay. And I don't have a time when I can stop. I would love to have a real serious crack at it still through the 2022 championships, Commonwealth Games and World Champs. I still really want to have a crack at making one of those teams in the marathon. And so after that, I think things will slow down dramatically in terms of how much I run and that kind of stuff. But
that's still like this, like the good side of 40, isn't it?
Oh,
like
you'd be what, yeah, 30, I'm only 34 30, right now.
Yeah. Yeah. So you got plenty of time.
Plenty of time, but like takes a, like you have 6 months of really battling. It makes, takes a bit of the enjoyment out, as you know, And then all of a sudden that sort of like the next race and the next race and the next race seemed just really hard to get to.
Yeah. I've got no plans, Nicholas, to stop. Just keep going, see how the body handles and hopefully just have a good relationship with it in the older years where you can just use a bit of social stuff, go to a fun run for a weekend away or stuff like that, kind of just not train too hard, go out for a couple of jogs, see what happens. That's my long-term plan, boys. Moose on the loose, purchase of the week. Got anything?
I talked about the men's pacing. Not that that was my moose on the loose, but I can do a purchase of the week. And actually, I'd already made this before last week, and I still haven't got it yet. But this might be my most embarrassing purchase.
Well, more than the old leg pillow.
People were writing in asking him where to get it from. Did you see that message on Facebook?
It hasn't shown up yet, but I'm sure it'll pop up on Facebook if you if the algorithms work. You, all you have to do is say it and it'll pick it up. No, this week I bought – so Garmin came out. They released a pair of – the second model of their scales this week. So the Garmin – what are they called?
Scales you weigh yourself on.
Yeah, like let me see what it's called.
These wouldn't be cheap either, Brad.
Oh,
what's it called? It's called the
I never know they made scales. GPS and navigation stuff.
No, they made one and then they sort of canned it for a while and then they brought it back again. So
why are you interested in your weight, Moose?
Yeah, well, I'm not normally, but at the time I'm like, oh, you know what? I probably should pay attention to this because I like the idea of like knowing stuff, even if I might not use it. It's like I like seeing graphs and stuff, and this tracks your graphs and or like tracks your weight. So it's a Wi-Fi scale, so it's basically set up right. It's called the Index S2 Wi-Fi Smart Scale, and this is their sales pitch on it. Get a more holistic view of your health using the Index S2 Smart Scale. Track your progress toward your goals with accurate measurements for weight, weight trend, body fat percentage, BMI, skeletal muscle mass, and more. Seamlessly sync with Garmin Connect via Wi-Fi connectivity to see your data, get trend graphs, view multiple daily weights, and more alongside your other wellness information. The app also lets you customize the data you see when you step on the scale. So what
you realize we charge people to do what you just did?
I was going to say,
we invoice people to do that.
Can you send them an invoice, please?
I don't know. All I know, what I do know, I don't know, but what I do know is that, they weren't cheap. And I can
$250 bucks. Is that it? I've got it on my screen at the moment. Is that it?
Yeah, but I've got an account with Garmin, so take advantage of that.
Cheaper, yeah.
So actually, it cost me $235. but you can set it so it shows you your weather in the morning. So you get out the shower, you step on the weight, and you like measure yourself, weigh yourself, and then all of a sudden it tells you what the weather's going to be, so you know what to get dressed in.
You know, you look outside, and you can also look at the bomb.
It has a weather forecast on it. All right,
it remembers your name.
Yeah, this is
Nick Earl. Nick Earl could just message each day with the weather.
Could. Isn't less information sometimes better though, Moose? You strike me as a bit of a like free-spirited kind of guy, like not into all these stats and facts and graphs and stuff like that.
He's not doing much for his blue collar.
This is mainly for like furniture in the bathroom. It's quite a good looking set of scales. This was a bad purchase.
Spent the last 5 minutes trying to justify it.
Your blue collar swagger is going down rapidly. Yeah. Hey, with all your purchases, is Bree like on board with all of these, or does she say, "Why the fuck have you bought that?"
She definitely was saying that those exact words with this. It hasn't arrived yet, and the leg pillow. She's all about that because sometimes like. The current leg pillow setup I've got going, like you can lose pillows underneath those covers, and sometimes they end up like on her side. And so this actually being the leg pillow being strapped to me, everyone's happy.
Right.
I do like this segment actually.
Yeah, I like
do
it as well.
It's very entertaining.
It's a good stage of the show as well.
My credit card's maxing.
Boy, it's a bit of general business before we wrap up tonight. We've got a coffee partnership to announce. St. Ali Cafe, the coffee brewers in Melbourne, they've come on board as the official suppliers of coffee to the Inside Running podcast. They gave us a bit of a shipment of coffee, not beans, coffee ground, last couple of weeks ago, and a coffee machine each. And I don't know what you guys have been like at your end, but I've been absolutely loving it. This is one of the coolest partnerships we've ever had with the Inside Runner podcast, and something that's getting an absolute flogging at my house down here in Moama. What about you, Brad? Bit of a step up from Nescafe 37.
I haven't had Nescafe since I stayed at your Airbnb, Bray.
You strike me as an instant coffee kind of guy, though.
That's
the thing. Like just sitting there having a couple of bickies in the afternoon.
If we're down the coast at Viv's parents' place, that's pretty much like Makona instant. Yeah, I will drink it, but then I just can't wait to get home to have good coffee. And I'm the same, Brady. I've been so stoked. So we've been given like four different blends, like 250 grams each to sort of try. And the Wide Awake and the Feels Good blends have been my two favorites so far. It's awesome. So good to have them on board. The Feels Good one has like an iced tea sort of, like you can get a bit of a tea.
Is that the green one?
That's the green one. Yeah, which I've never ever had a coffee before where you have like these aftertaste of a tea in it. It's awesome. So good.
I had that on the Savo. It's, I just have my coffee black, and this is legit when I buy a coffee from like a cafe off the baristas and stuff. It tastes exactly the same. Like I'm never buying a coffee again. Like I don't have to do the milk stuff. So there's no more like degrees of difficulty in there for me. So this is legit. And like the crema on the top there, took me a while to get the machine sorted, but I'm onto it now. Figured it out. Moose, what are you thinking down your way with it?
Well, it's again very nice looking machine, so it complements the kitchen really well. At the start, I was like, "This is fucking real messy, getting all the shots sorted and then taking it out and then frothing the milk and cleaning the milk frother." And I thought, "Who has time to do this for one coffee each day or two?"
I did too.
Well, then we started to get our system happening and we started to work it out a bit better, and
It got like directions written on the wall or something.
When you take out the handle or whatever, and it's full of coffee. You got to get rid of it. So you got to find a bin for it. We bought one of those knock cups where you knock
I've got one of them. Oh. It makes a massive difference. You need to get one of those, Brady.
Yeah, I've been smashing on the sink and just nothing happens.
don't do that. This is much better. So the knock cup cleans it all up, and then worked out how to, like, I guess, get the right pressure through the puck or whatever, because it's got this. It came with accessories like a stamper, and then there's this thing called the razor that you kind of pull around where it gives you the exact sort of amount or the height that you need. And so once we got that sorted, the coffee is delicious. We have a capsule coffee maker, and that thing doesn't get used anymore. This is just a whole nother level. And to be honest, it's unpredictable. There's some really good places, obviously, where you get coffee, but there's always the chance that you're getting some spud making it. So if you're getting it from home, then you're just like, oh, well, if I make it shit, I can blame me, and then I can just make another one. So I like it.
What I've loved about it is like normally with my old machine, I would open up like a bag of beans and I'd grind it, but I would be stuck with that one blend until I've got through the kilo of beans. Whereas here, like having four different blends that you actually try, like, you know, I might have one blend in the morning, one blend in the afternoon, and then the other blends the other days. Like being able to notice the difference in the coffee is awesome. So they have these like different packages that you can, they'll send you like four different sort of blends throughout a month. So it's awesome. Awesome to have them on board.
It is awesome to have them on board. Thanks to Lock Ward from St. Ali as a runner, Patreon supporter, 246 guy. Is the connection there, and we're stoked. I think we actually have to do a product review, boys, in a couple of weeks, but I think we just spoke about it then. If you ever want to sponsor us, it's authenticity right here at the Inside Run Podcast, if you haven't figured that out yet. And I think it makes me feel cooler as well, because all the packaging's like, you know, like skull and crossbones and like cool imagery. Have you noticed that? No.
On the one of them.
Oh, I thought they all had. Anyway.
No, it's very clean product. Like, they're a premium company.
Very premium, yeah. You feel like a bit of a hipster drinking it. So if you're in Melbourne, probably if you're in anywhere in Australia, I think even overseas, they'd probably ship you their coffee. We'll put their link in the show notes.
Saint-Ali.com.au.
St. Ali, very cool partnership there. What else is coming up? We got our Road to Valencia coming up Friday morning. We had the first episode of that last week, which I thought was all right, boys. First up's always a bit of a tough one when you put a new panel together and just not sure how they're going to gel, but I think we got there in the end. It's going to be quite fascinating following those three boys' journey towards the Valencia Marathon, because, I don't know, sometimes in Australia we kind of tend to do things all the same way. We kind of got a bit of a tradition of the way we train, whereas I think people who have listened to that first episode, that's not going to be the case with this little side project that's going to happen for the next 8 weeks. You agree?
Yeah, it was fun listening. I was thinking, like, what the hell is this guy doing? This is some crazy stuff. And that's good to hear crazy stuff, especially if it sort of pays off. It does. It will show people that there is no sort of there is no one way to do things. And they're pretty funny. I reckon they'll get funnier at the moment. Like, a couple of them nervous. One of them was Clousy. He's a bit sort of funnier than the others, I reckon. But they're all coming into their own. I think Pete's a pretty dry fella, and Marta's tells it how it is. So they're a good combo.
I think because Clousy had listened to our show a bit as well, he knew what he was signing up for. So he just started throwing the lip like in the first 2 minutes, whereas the other two are like, what are you doing? Why are you having a go at us?
Yeah, don't be mean.
Yeah. So that's on Patreon if you want to support the podcast. You get some bonus content over there. Second episodes with Moose on Friday morning. Shoe Geeks also may have already come out. If it hasn't already, it'd be pretty close. Patreon's got that last week as well. I enjoyed that, Moose, on the way to Sydney. Had a listen to that one. Never heard you so excited in my life when you were talking to Danny Orr.
Oh, yeah. You know, you get a big dog on the show, you got to come out firing. On my game I was, wasn't I?
Oh, yeah, I could tell you had a bit of coffee before that one, I reckon. It was like he yelled every single question. I was like, we had to keep turning it down. I'm going to have to fix that.
He's in America.
Audio.
How's he going to hear me, mate?
Nitter and him were like 5 out of 10. Then every time you talk, we just had to turn the speaker down. I'm like, settle down, Julian. Why are you getting so excited?
Alpha.
So that's it. What's coming up, Bradley?
A bit of teaching this week, going from my normal 1 day to 3 days. And not much else really, just ticking along. Park run starts back up in Canberra this weekend. So I reckon, I don't know if I'll get down there this weekend, but I reckon I'll rock up in the next couple of weeks. They're having a 6-week trial. So that's really exciting. And I know that in Canberra, people are super pumped for that to be back. So I'll definitely turn up to one soon.
How they need a trial? Parkrun's been going for like 15 years.
No, like just with the new system, like they're just going to see whether it's like safe and there's no like outbreaks. And like they've got now, so a system where I think like the, you need to scan, like, you know, obviously scan your barcode after the race, but you need to like scan in your phones and stuff to see, so they can like contact trace if they need to.
Mm.
So they want everybody to, before the race, the park run, scan a code or whatever it is. I haven't really looked into it, but I know that they're doing that sort of stuff.
That was legit everywhere we went in Sydney. You just got it. Like, even do you go to Macca's, there's a lady out the front with a piece of paper, like, got to scan this before you come in.
Yeah,
that's what Victoria's gonna be heading for, Moose. I reckon I've had a bit of a peek into the future.
Oh, we register at pubs and that we're going to already.
Oh, do you?
It'd be easier on your phone, definitely.
Yeah, you just scan that QR code with your camera.
Yeah, yeah. A few of the restaurants already have that.
Okay, then you're in. What are you doing, Moose?
I've got to do a workout in Ballarat tomorrow night. What else? Nah, just a standard week. I'm actually going away next week. We haven't been away like since October last year, really. We had a few days before the wedding, but then the day after the wedding, COVID kind of hit and we had to sort of come back and can those days that we had set aside. And then obviously like no honeymoon or anything. Not that we're not complaining about that, but it's been pretty intense. Mm-hmm. A year of just flat out, like, with real unpredictability, and we just felt really fried lately. So we're going over to Phillip Island for like 3 days.
Yeah, nice. Oh,
that'd be all right.
Yeah.
You going to be here next week, or we need to replace you?
Monday night, yeah. Well, Phillip Island's still got the internet, mate.
Gee, I thought you were going away for a romantic 3 nights. Hey, Bree, just going to go talk to a couple of blokes about running for an hour and a half.
You blokes would be fucked without me. Why would anyone listen?
Yeah, true.
That would be all right. Just send him what you've purchased and we can tell the listeners and we'll just carry on.
We'll replace you with some big dog. Have the week off. We'll find someone for you.
All right.
See what Patchley's doing.
Yeah, exactly. Real big dog.
See what Nick Earl's doing.
Elite runner on this podcast. Don't forget that.
Yeah, you haven't been doing much elite running recently, though. You're only as good as your last week of training.
You're only as last as your good marathon.
Right, you're going to say you're as good as your last race.
I'm faster than you on my own.
Yeah, you're in the cheese shoes, though, mate. I was inspired. I'm going back old school. I also time trialled about 45 seconds quicker than that in Bendigo that day, remember?
The question is Bendigo track, actually.
We did 25
laps. Some of the results I've been seeing from you elsewhere.
I'm starting to question the fact that Brady whinges about how crappy he's in spikes, that the fact that his 10K PB is only like 10 seconds or so quicker than mine, it was in a pair of Vaporflies.
Yeah.
The next percent. So maybe that 10K is not quite as good as my 29.48.
My theory is you're crap in anything you're not familiar with.
Okay.
So you were familiar with spikes, you raced in spikes. I was familiar in next percent, raced in next percent, ran quicker than you, I'm faster than you over 10K. And now they've flipped the table on me, bloody World Athletics, and said, nah, you got to go back to old school stuff. Get with the innovation, World Athletics. Let us run in whatever on the track. If it's good enough, for the road.
Coming out with some stats lately.
Yeah. Do you give him jobs?
No, but I like his current job. So he's looked into like how much of an effect the Vaporflies had on world records. And he reckons it's much less significant than people are making out.
Hey, would you ever have a debate with somebody on air about this stuff? I was thinking about driving back from Sydney the other day. These are the things I think about when I'm driving for 8 hours straight. I think it'd be really good audio. Just a debate, like, you know, how you see Trump and Biden over there. We'll throw you questions about someone who's really against the super shoes and then someone who's really for them, which would be you.
I prefer to not have any opposition when I'm talking. So it works a lot better if I'm on a podcast and I don't have to have anyone say anything back to me. Because you two blokes, not a lot of brain cells between you.
The loudest voice is always right. That's the theory that Moose goes with. gets fired up and you can't get a word in. You're like, oh, I must be wrong again. So you, would, realize, you wouldn't do it.
He realizes he's wrong. He just says, shut up or I'll knock you out.
Yeah.
And it
just
and it
bullies
works.
You it into the wrong. Response.
Nah, I'm pretty good by myself, actually.
All right, we'll leave it there. See you next week, boys. No interview this week. Sign up to Patreon. We'll give us some audio over there. See us next time.
Hey, yeah. Here I stand, a man whose roots he understands, and I'm gonna hold my head up high. I was taught as a young man, doesn't matter if you're white or black, just show love to everyone you meet, doesn't matter if it's